Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Watson, and I hope everyone out there is having a wonderful week so far. It's been pretty good weather here in North Carolina this week, and I've got to say, I am really just loving fall right now. The leaves are turning, and I've got my house decorated for autumn, and the pumpkin spice candles are out, and I will, however, try not to succumb to the obligatory 5+ pounds I always seem to pack on somewhere between Halloween and Christmas. We have an exciting guest for you tonight. She's running a little late, so hopefully she'll be able to call in shortly. Let me tell you a little bit about her. I met my guest tonight at an RT Book Lovers convention. It's amazing how many people I actually see and meet during the course of the 5-day event every year. But we were both new authors at the Harlequin Kamani line, with books that were coming out just months apart. So, of course, we bonded over the excitement of our books coming out and being newly published with that line at Harlequin. So it was really fun to kind of network with her. And I remember one of the events we were at, it was the Harlequin party, and we were standing around chatting with Farah Rashan and Maureen Smith and Pat Simmons and a few other authors, and it was a nice big mixer, and they had a huge screen up, and they were scrolling through kind of like a montage of different Harlequin lines and book covers. And I remember we were sitting there chatting, and someone came up and pointed out, "Hey, you know, that's your book cover up there." And it was so funny because neither she nor I actually realized that our book covers were being displayed up on the montage as well. So it was kind of funny because we were both kind of tickled pink because this is like the first time I've ever seen my book cover up on a huge screen, so to speak. So that was pretty neat. And so I'm looking forward to definitely chatting with her about her new release that she's got coming up in November. So hopefully she'll be able to join us. And another thing I've been doing today, I've been pretty busy today, but I am actually, this is where I have the shameless plug, but I am having a Love by Design book party coming up on Facebook October 28th, Tuesday, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I am so looking forward to that because this will be pretty much the first online book party that I've had where I'll be hosting it. And I have such an array of just amazing best-selling authors that will be joining me that evening. And it'll be really fun because I wanted to have a really neat theme. And so I picked like a love through the decades type of theme that I thought would be fun, where authors and readers will be able to post pictures of, you know, their favorite outfits, their favorite TV shows, any books that they love during the era, or people or movie stars or music. And they can pick anything, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, 60s, 70s, or, hey, you can go historical and start getting into some previous centuries. Anything you want to do, it will be just fine. And so I'm definitely looking forward to that. I will have a really who's who of authors that will be attending with me. Beverly Jenkins is going to be there. The formidable, incomparable Beverly Jenkins will be popping in, as well as Deborah Mello, S. Renea Bates, Michelle Lindo Rice, Pat Simmons, Linda Mooney, Wayne Jordan, Sherelle Green Pointer, Niecy Roy, Renee Bernard, and Farah Rashan. So I try to get a nice mix of different genres and different authors. So I am seriously looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we'll all be there. We'll be talking about our latest novels, as well as doing some giveaways for readers. And also, we'll be posting pictures of different genres and years and stuff that we like. I personally think I'm going to be going with something in the 70s, I think. I'm going to get a little funky, and I'll be posting. Hopefully I can find some really cool pictures and some nice bell bottoms or something. I'm not sure yet. But anyway, we are waiting for Sherelle Green to call in, and we're going to give her a little bit longer before we go to a previously recorded show. And that is going to be with Ming Mei Yip, if we can't get a hold of Sherelle. But anyway, if you have a chance, please check out Sherelle's website. It's www.sherelle.com. She's our guest for tonight, and she has a new novel coming out for her Elite event series, and that story is going to be called Red Velvet Kisses. And I've got to say, she comes up with some wonderful titles, and I really think that's such a cute title, Red Velvet Kisses. It makes me think of cake, I'm not going to lie. But it's definitely one that you should check out, and it's definitely going to be worth it. And she just brings so much passion and so much love for writing to her books. And so it's definitely one you should put on that to-do list to read, or as a gift for another reader, because you know Christmas is coming up. So it's about that time to start thinking about what you're going to be buying for gifts and stuff, and I don't care who you are. I think gifts make the perfect gift. So anyway, I think we are going to start with our show for Ming Mei Yip. If Sherelle happens to come in, we'll pop in a little while. So here you go.
Hello.
Hang on just a
minute. Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. This is Lisa Watson. This is Readers Entertainment Radio, and I hope everyone is enjoying their summer thus far. I know I'm looking forward to a nice long week vacation, but unfortunately, that's not till September. So if you're like me and don't have any major plans coming up, sit back and relax, because this evening we have a really great guest. We have Ming Mei Yip. And this author is well-versed in a myriad of different topics, interests, and passions. She
Thank
received
you.
Her PhD and has been on the faculty of several universities. She is an accomplished calligrapher. She writes mainstream women's fiction as well as children's literature, for which she also illustrates. She is also a chin musician, and for our listeners that haven't heard of the chin, it is actually pronounced like your chin, Q-I-N. It's also called the seven-stringed zither. The chin is an ancient classical Chinese musical instrument that is the most revered of all Chinese instruments. And that's just a few of her talents. In her novels, Ming Mei writes about heroines that have real-life struggles against the odds, and in times when, you know, choices may have not been plentiful, but these women ended up being thrust on paths that were not necessarily of their making. Yet in the end, they're able to persevere, find happiness, and the successes that they deserved. I give a warm welcome and ni hao to Ming Mei Yip.
Ni hao, Lisa. I'm very happy that you invite me again on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for making yourself available. For listeners out there, I had the pleasure of meeting Ming Mei a few years ago. We shared a cab from the airport and discovered that we were both attending the RT Book Lovers Convention. So in talking with Ming Mei, I realized pretty quickly that her life pretty much sounds like a novel. So before we delve into your unique stories, Ming Mei, and your experiences with those stories, I'd like our listeners to have a chance to learn pretty much more about you because you're so dynamic. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Lisa. Actually, I think I do have a lot of experiences in life because of my family background, and also I came from Hong Kong. I mean, now it's part of China. And my father was like a professional gambler, but then he didn't win, and he lost all the family money. So I ended up, I started to give piano lessons to bring in income to the family when I was very young. My mother was like a teacher, but she basically didn't really work. So I had to support my family when I was very young, I mean, before I reached 20. So I would say that I do have a lot of experiences in life. And also, life, of course, it's not easy. But if you're determined to do something, you put all your energy and your mind to do it, I would assure you that you will find the happiness or the success that anyone deserves. That's my experiences. But I'm also very lucky that my parents, because my father was a musician, and my mother really, really liked arts. So when I was very young, in my early teens, they sent me to take, you know, piano lessons, oil painting lessons, and then later Chinese painting lessons. And then later I started to play a Chinese musical instrument. So I am very grateful for my parents, you know, nurturing me as an artist. Otherwise, I don't think I would have been where I am today.
Right. Now, before we go too far, I want to let our listeners know that the live chat session is open, and you're welcome to comment or ask questions about our show. You can call us here at area code 646-200-4071 or toll free at 877-497-5906. And as usual, after the live show, we will be posting the podcast and blog to readersentertainment.com. Now, I know many of our listeners would like to check out Ming Mei's website, possibly during the show. You can do so at www.mingmei, that's M-I-N-G-M-E-I, yip, all one word, Y-I-P, .com. So again, that's www.mingmeiyip.com. So, Ming Mei, let's talk about your newest novel, The Ninefold Heaven. It takes readers into the exotic world of 1930s Shanghai. It's a time of extremes, extreme luxury, excesses for the ultra-rich, and abject poverty for those less fortunate, especially the orphan. Would you take us into the life of Camilla, your main character in this intriguing story, and also tell us what Ninefold Heaven is?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. First, let me explain what Ninefold Heaven actually is based on the line from the one of the most and the oldest book in China called The Book of Change. That means everything in life is changing, always, always changing. The good thing about everything is changing that is because then we always have hope, because it will never be the same. You know, if you have bad luck in the past, you know, you will look forward to having some good luck. It always changes. It's never the same. So Ninefold Heaven is about actually as a dragon. That means actually in life, how to deal with life. Life is never easy, right? And it's very complicated. Is you have to light the dragon. And the dragon has different aspects. Sometimes they soar in the heaven, soar in the Ninefold Heavens. That means you reach the highest success. But when the timing is not right for you to succeed, then you also have to imitate the other aspect of the dragon, which is called the hidden dragon. You don't act.
Okay.
You don't do anything. Then what do? You nurture yourself, you study, you read, you prepare yourself till the auspicious time come and light the soaring dragon, and then you soar up to the Ninefold Heaven and you find the highest form of success. That's the, you know, the meaning of the title. And my protagonist, Camilla, she was an orphan, and she was an orphan and picked up by a gangster because, of course, she's very, very pretty, and picked up by a gangster and trained her to be a singer, a nightclub singer, to lure, you know, to lure the rich man, of course, to attract.
Right.
I mean, they are called skeleton women in China. Skeleton women doesn't mean that they are anorexic, meaning that they are so beautiful and so talented that they suck you dry, suck you become a skeleton. That's what it's called. They're all called skeleton women. So
right.
She was trained by this gangster to be a seductress, you know, a femme fatale, so she can seduce an other gangster head, which is the rival of the gangster head who raised her. That's the storyline. Yeah, so she has to seduce the other gangster head. And, of course, I mean, the other gangster head is an old guy meaning in the 50s. But then life, of course, is full of surprises and conflicts. And then she falls in love with the one she's going to assassinate, you know, the other gangster head. She falls in love with his only son and also his most trusted bodyguard. And that's how the story evolves.
Now that's a twist.
Yeah, and then of course all my novels are about very strong women characters. They were thrust onto a path they didn't choose, but they used the very limited resources that they have and finally succeed in life. And it's very encouraging on my novels. I mean, sometimes it's like,
you know,
my own
they're
life.
Very positive.
Yeah, just somehow
reading, reading some of those blurbs were just like, wow, those, you know, your stories are very positive, not to mention your covers are absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. I have to thank Kensington.
But they're all very different, and they're all interesting.
They're very different, yeah. And in my novel, the Camilla, and not only the conflict is she falls in love with the one she's going to assassinate, his son and also his most trusted bodyguard, she also, there are two women who try to compete her love with the gangster head. One is a magician, and another one is a gossip columnist who is a woman, but she dresses like a man. And the gossip columnist is kind of in love with her, you know, like a lesbian kind of love. And she tries to kind of threaten her to do what she wants. If not, then she's going to destroy her in her column. And why the magician, and, I want to mention one thing is, if you know about David Copperfield, you know, the very famous magician, and he one of his famous shows is he can make disappear the whole Statue of Liberty, right?
Right.
The whole Statue of Liberty. I mean, how can you do that? And the answer is in my novel. The answer is in my novel. I figure it out myself, but it took me a long time. I figure it out. Yeah.
So, that's in Ninefold Heaven?
That's actually in the previous one, The Skeleton Woman. But Ninefold Heaven is...
Okay.
Yeah, it's about Camilla, her love for her long-lost baby son. It's a long journey for her to, you know, go back to Shanghai to find her love and her baby, whom she was told was dead. But she couldn't believe it because of her mother's intuition. So she went back and did all kinds of adventures. Of course, all people trying to kill her, trying to destroy her. So that's the whole, I mean, there's a lot of adventures in the story. And also there are two love stories. I mean, three in this novel, three love interests in this novel.
Wow. Now, Ninefold Heaven, listeners, is on sale now. It has garnered very positive reviews. It's written in first person, which I think instantly gives readers a connection to Camilla that's personal. And for non-Asians, it allows us to view her world from the Chinese perspective. So, Ming Mei, what made you decide to tell Camilla's story in first person, and have you been pleased with how it's been received by your readers so far?
Yes, I have many, many readers. Now they connect me through Facebook. You know, they just you know, go to Facebook, find my name, and either like my author page or friend with me. In the past, they had to write letters to my to my publisher, and the publisher, you know, gave me the letters,
right.
But now they don't have to do that. It's all Facebook. Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
then I'm very happy to say that because all my novels so far have been sold to 10 countries, translated
yes,
into 10 languages.
That. 10
so
different languages.
So I also have, you know, like readers from other, you know, other countries, not just United
mm-hmm.
States. And I'm very happy that I can reach, you know, because I, my goal in writing novels, of course, is for entertainment, you know, just like people want to go to see a movie for entertainment, relaxation. But I
mm-hmm.
also always want my readers to take something home after they read my books. That means either they learn something from life, from my characters, you know, they feel encouraged or inspired. You know, I want them to get something other than just entertainment. And talking about writing in first-person perspective, I think I'm very lucky because I feel, is because my protagonists include, you know, singer-spy like in The Knife of Heaven, adventurers in The Song of the Silk Road, prostitute in Peach Blossom Pavilion, and Buddhist nuns in Petals from the Sky. And I wrote all this in first person because I feel that if I write in first person, I can really get inside that protagonist's
right.
head. And I feel I can really do that. I'm very lucky. I really feel that I become that person. So
mm-hmm.
that's why so far I don't plan to write in third person yet. Maybe in the future I can try that, especially I have a plan and to write a big family saga, you know, with a
mm-hmm.
lot of family members. Then I might try,
mm-hmm.
you know, I might write in third person, but so far I like the first person because I can really go inside that person's head. And then when my readers read those novels, they feel the same way too, because that's what
right.
I heard from them. You know, they feel just so real, you know, the characters.
Absolutely. Now, the women in your novels go through many trials. They go through trials of faith,
mm-hmm.
the heart, the mind. They're strong, like we said, very competent women, and they're accomplished no matter what
mm-hmm.
they do, whether they're spies or, like you said, magicians or musicians or geisha or even the
mm-hmm.
Buddhist nun. They
mm-hmm.
interact with the underworld and dangerous gangs as easily as the privileged and politically connected or religious leaders. So
mm-hmm.
can you tell us, Ming Mei, what drove you to write so dynamic a character like the Skeleton Women and her counterparts?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a little bit about you, so I can tell, but you know, some of your own personality traits, I think, are woven into them, aren't they?
Yeah, you're completely right. even like my first debut novel, which has been really doing well, The Peach Blossom Pavilion, many,
mm-hmm.
many readers read the book, and they asked, is it about myself? I said, is it a compliment or what? and then my husband told his friends, and they asked the same question. He said, oh, that's what my wife did in the past. She never told me. I mean, as a joke. So I do have the ability that I can write very realistically. I think that besides, I think first because I'm a very flexible person, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can talk to anyone, carry out long conversations with actually practically most people on the streets, I would say that. And second is because of my research and because of my academic background,
right.
you know, in Chinese culture. So when I research a lot, you just, you know, and then they just get integrated intrinsically in you, and then you write it out. But I do think
right.
that, and also, as I said, actually, each of my main characters, she does reflect something of myself. Because, as I said, I did go through very difficult times myself. And first, I'm a very optimistic person. I always move forward. I don't think about bad things happened in the past, whatever. And I'm
mm-hmm.
very forgiving person, you know, and something wrong me in the
right.
past, I tend to just forget and move on, and or forgive or whatever. Sometimes I can't forget.
Right, but
I still forgive, but I don't forget. But
right.
All these character traits, I think helped me to be a good writer. I really think so, because I can first go into the mind of really different people, because, and I can also, I'm very courageous, not quite the right word, I'm kind of daring. I can talk to any people, like in the subway, on the bus, and I can't really
and then you're in New York, so I'm sure that, that's a feat in
I really
and of
can
itself.
Talk to anyone if I want to. I don't have any hang out. I see a person, mm-hmm. if I want to talk to, I just walk up and talk to the person. Sometimes, of course, I mean, I don't, not like completely indiscriminately. If I see something very scary on the street, I'm not to do that. But like in meetings, strangers or whatever, if I look at them, I find it interesting, or maybe I just walk up and talk to people. That's how I learn, mm-hmm. too, of different characters, you know. Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that helps with, you know, some of your characters later, you know, because they say truth is stranger than fiction, and it's definitely mm-hmm. true. Now, in addition to a novelist, Mingmei, you're also very accomplished as a painter and a calligrapher.
Thank you.
In fact, you teach classes on calligraphy. You've done demonstrations at the Metropolitan Museum of Art and other local venues. I read on your website about how you became an artist and the warmth, the love, the support you received from your mother to pursue and nourish your gifts. This was a road not open to your mom. And do you feel that by excelling at being an artist, it's sort of you paying homage to your mother and the mm-hmm. dream that she never realized for herself?
Yes, that's true to some extent. I mean, as we all know, a lot of mothers, they live the dreams through their daughters, you know, especially mm-hmm. when they don't have the chance. And my mother, actually, she was, I don't know whether she was very talented in the arts, but she was very attracted to the arts, and she had talent, but she, because she didn't have a chance to develop her talent, so mm-hmm. I couldn't tell, you know, whether she would become a great artist, you know.
What, yeah,
and
what
she,
could have possibly
yeah,
been
you can't,
that,
yeah. Yeah. That, that is something that I really don't like to happen to myself. That's why for mm-hmm. me, I never give up any opportunity. I always explore, you know, any possibilities to my fullest, you know, extent, because I don't want to feel regret, any regret in life. And my mother, because that's how she felt, is regret, because, you know, she wanted to be an artist, but my grandfather absolutely won't let her, you know, wouldn't let her take any art lessons, because
right.
in that era, artists were equivalent to beggars on the street, because they couldn't
right.
they
I read
couldn't make
that on your site.
Yeah, so it's very sad. It's very sad. So that's why she sent me to take painting lessons when I was very young, maybe like 13 or 14, I don't remember, oil painting first. And then I did very well in the first year, so my teacher recommended me for an art show, a group one, not just me. And then my mother, oh, my daughter was really talented. And then she hired a Chinese painter to our house to teach me painting and calligraphy, and that's how I learned. And actually, I was very young, but I could tell somehow that the teacher was not very very good. I don't know how I could tell, but I could tell.
The student has surpassed the teacher.
Yeah, and then I think that because I think that his brushstrokes is just not. I don't know, not very clean, the lines and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I didn't take a lot of lessons. So finally, I stopped. And then I started to copy masterpieces myself, because that's how you mm-hmm. learn, especially from Chinese art. You just copy from the masters. So I rather gotcha. Copy from the master than copy from a teacher, because the masters, you know, the classic, the icons, you know, in history. So a lot later, actually, I taught myself a lot, yeah. But, of course, as I mentioned, I'm very, very grateful for my parents. If they didn't send me to take all this lesson, I wouldn't have learned any of this.
That has been an amazing interview with a previous best-selling author, not previous as in best-selling, but previous guest on Readers Entertainment Radio, Mingmei Yip. I would like to thank the listeners out there tonight for joining me here on Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, Stop off at readersentertainment.com. You can check out our recap blogs. And next week, Ty Moody is up, and we'll be discussing her latest
Circle
novel.
Of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.